Good morning. It's Friday, the 13th day of November 2020. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And with me as the producer and technical operator is Dennis Johnson. The number, as usual, is 4341790. And I suppose there's so much to be said that I don't even have to start this program by saying anything myself other than to observe that the United States has gone blue and Barbados remains red, deeply so. Elections that are now over in the United States with all the controversy that President Trump is trying to stir up. Just listen to a piece in which they were looking at some of the things that have been said in the courts where Trump's lawyers have been trying to challenge the outcome of the elections. It's something that has not been paid a lot of attention by mainstream media, or what Trump himself would call the lamestream media. But it's not a pretty picture emerging for President Trump at the moment. And here in Barbados, I suppose you can say that we are now going to get back to normal. One of the observations made by a former colleague of mine who worked in the media is that in looking at what has taken place in the St. George by-election, the observation has been that it is the politicians who set the agenda, and we as media practitioners basically have become so weak that we are incapable of getting into these constituencies and actually identifying the issues ourselves. So it is the politicians who identify the issues, and then we work with them, so to speak. I suppose we are in a period where there's a lot of scrutiny on the competence or incompetence of the media in this country. There are some areas, some things that you feel that you can defend, and then there are others that it is very difficult to defend. But we are here. We have a role to play. We are not among the most liked people in this country, I can tell you. When you sit with some of the people who are supposed to be decision makers in this country, everybody wants the media to look at the other guy. So you're not focusing on agriculture, or you're not doing investigative journalism on this or that. But when you ask them to come and account for their behavior or for their stewardship of an area, it's a completely different matter. They get defensive. They get angry. You see the real McCoy coming out when you put them on the spot. And for that reason, for all the talk about what the media ought to be in this country, there are far too many who do not really want to have a probing media. You can have people walk the length and breadth of this country and present themselves as candidates, but never have the strength, the intestinal fortitude to make themselves available for any probing examination of who they are and what they have to offer. Getting up on a platform, whether that platform is in an election period or otherwise, and pulling out your pieces of information and dropping them there without necessarily going any further and getting to the root of what you have actually said. It, yes, pleases some, but there are many people in the country who feel shortchanged. And that's not just people who are in power. This is the candidates who are in opposition, face the same situation, ducking and hiding from the scrutiny, and believing that they have pulled a fast one by doing that. Trust me, you may all be upset when I say that, generally speaking, with a few exceptions, I really am not impressed by what I see. But then again, you may watch what we do, and even what I do, and you may not be impressed either. And it may work both ways. This is Down to Brass Tacks. And please turn that radio down.
Hello?
Yes, morning.
Morning. I don't have on the radio, Mr. Ellis. I was calling on these programs for so many years now. I don't be a victim of the foolish exercise. But how are you keeping?
I'm well, and you?
Not bad. I listen to you on the election night, you know, and I as usual, I always listen to VOB. And you had all the panelists there representing political parties, and then you had the lady there, Elizabeth Thompson. And one of the things that she said that I smile at was when she said that for low turnout, the reason for low turnout might be COVID. But I want to remind Liz Thompson, the last general election, there was a lower turnout in St. George North. Over 3,000 people did not cast the votes. And the trend continued. I am not one of those people who are going to say, well, one or two people might not want to vote because of COVID. But I don't think COVID was the main important factor. You, as a journalist, you have to find out why is that the people in St. George North have decided not to vote, cast the votes this election.
I want to suggest to you that over 4,000 people voted in St. George North.
I'm talking about the ones that...
Yes, but you will pick what you want to focus on.
No, we have to focus on...
Well, you finish, and then I'm going to respond to you in a manner that I believe you will not even want to accept, but I'm going to respond nonetheless.
Right. Don't forget, St. George North is a constituency where over 9,000 voters. And if you say 4,000 people cast the votes, what happened to the other five? It means that the other five did not support the Barbados Labour Party, have no intention of supporting the other four.
They supported the Democratic Labour Party?
1,000 somebody, right? And the ones that remain...
Of those who did not vote, did they support the Democratic Labour Party?
We would not know that. How we would know that?
But how would you know that they didn't support the Barbados Labour Party? They didn't support either party.
That is what I'm telling you. So therefore, Tony Moore... That seat.
This spin that you come in here with this morning.
No.
Really,
I'm saying that seat.
Let me tell you something. Let's cut to the chase.
Yes.
At the end of the day, though there was a reduced voter turnout, the vast majority of the people who voted did not vote for the Democratic Labour Party. That is the issue.
That
is the issue. And we have a system that if you win by one vote, you've won.
I cannot argue against that.
All right.
But
so
a popular person. And that's another question. Any consistency, is he popular?
Look, man, you are just you seem to me to be one of these people who really need to go back and focus on the fundamental issue here. The fundamental issue coming out of this by-election campaign is what is happening to the Democratic Labour Party.
It has not been
able to muster greater support in a by-election where there has been this reduced turnout.
But you have to ask the president of the Democratic.
No, I got to ask you. You call me on a regular basis, and you know full well that you come often. I don't remember you ever coming to support anything that the Barbados Labour Party has said or done.
I agree with you.
You've come across to me as a deep Dem.
No.
All right.
No.
So in those circumstances, what you need to do is to look at the Democratic Labour Party. And look, from where I sit, it is absolutely essential that the Democratic Labour Party improves its performance and comes across as a viable alternative, because Barbados is essentially right now a one-party state. All right?
But,
and it is not, and that is not the best situation to be in. But if the Democratic Labour Party does not get its act together, there's a distinct possibility that the next general elections will see them swept at the polls again.
So who thought it would be that, would you?
Well, you asked me that question. I speak in a way that people don't like me to speak. Because when I open my mouth, they get vexed.
Yeah.
I call it as I see it. The Democratic Labour Party, you ask me a question, let me answer. The Democratic Labour Party has suffered immensely from the period between 2008 and 2018. There has got to be a greater appreciation of the damage that has been done to that party in that period. I don't think that people like you understand that yet.
I am not going to understand either, because that is left entirely to that Vera DePisa and the committee members and the people who are high rising of the Democratic Party. I am an outsider. I keep on telling you that. I am looking at things as an outsider, not as a member. I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. But I want also to tell you, I heard her talking about Liz Thompson again, and you did not correct her. She said,
"There we go.
10 years of the Democratic Party, when they were in office, they did nothing absolutely really in St. George North. No, she forgot. I don't know if the lady, you know, as the older we get, we tend to forget sometimes what even the day is. The thing about Liz Thompson, she forget that the under the leadership of the late OAS Professor Arthur, 14 years, Glenn Clark was in there. I talk about 40 years under the leadership of OAFA. And when I look around St. George North, what he has done with some roads is to patch them.
My friend,
already real
fault. Look, in all fairness, somebody asked, somebody asked just now why I appear so aggressive on this point. And I think it's difficult to listen to a contribution like this, which behaves as though we didn't just have a by-election and that the stewardship of the Labour Party and Glenn Clark came under scrutiny and the Labour Party won the by-election. This focus on the Labour Party's situation right now is, to my mind, secondary.
Not to me.
They are the ruling party, but
we have to live with what they do. So therefore, they are primary.
But they have won. That's the point.
They are in government, so I have to be concerned.
They have won
the country. So to talk about the DLP, the DLP is not power.
The truth of the matter is that even though you are saying that, you must bear in mind that notwithstanding all of the failings that you are identifying in that constituency,
yes,
they have outperformed the other parties, and in particular, the Democratic Labour Party.
I don't understand how
out of this, your immediate response can be a focus on the failings of the BLP in the constituency.
So you are you blind? Do you don't have any difference? That's your bad roses.
My goodness!
That was there. But let me move on to my last point.
No. You don't have enough time, because you know you spend a fair amount of time focused on this. But remember, there's so many other people. And then today's Friday. We got a lot of commercials and stuff to sort out. So we don't have enough time for you to go on to point two. You could come to me perhaps on Monday with that, all right? Down to brass tacks. We're going to bring you an update on this situation here with this cruise ship that has returned to Barbados with a number of passengers having tested positive for COVID. If you looked at the newspaper today, you would see that there is the expectation that there will be a statement coming from the Ministry of Health. Stetson Babb has done an interview this morning with the Minister of Health, and we expect to bring that interview with you as soon as possible. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hello, hi, good David.
Yes, morning.
You were missing in action.
Okay, I was. I had to get some leave.
Good. I want to look again at the victory that was just experienced by the Barbados Labour Party in St. George North. Now, you would say, or one would say, that Floyd Reefer, Tony Moore, two candidates in the race, and Reefer was not successful. I do not know who would have expected Reefer to beat the I don't know who would expect the Democratic Labour Party to win that election. Because forget 2018, that is a whole different kettle of fish, politically speaking. That was a different mechanism. That was a horse of a different color. So forget 2018, okay? Where the Democratic Labour Party didn't want anybody help to help them to lose an election, right? And lose as miserably as they did. However, you could compare this by election with past elections in St. George North and see that the trend hold a somewhere true to form, right? Where the candidate, the Barbados Labour Party candidate, at all outings have 2-1 his opponent, his meaning Glenn Clare opponents, 2-1 them. Floyd Reefer managed to steer the course and actually get back the base of Democratic supporters in St. George North. I wish him well. I hope that he continue. But you got to look at the fundamentals to bring to this, at least to bring the country to this. Look, I believe that when the people in St. George North went to vote, they did not only vote with heavily for Tony Moore. I think that when they look around and they see the management of how Prime Minister Morley approached this whole thing with the COVID, right, and how Barbados have been managed, the financial structure, right, have been managed through its Prime Minister Morley, I think that there was no other reason that you could have voted against the Barbados Labour Party.
Well, I really can't get into the details of that. I don't.
I changed the facts.
Just let me say to you that a lot of emphasis has been placed on parochial issues because it was a by-election.
Yes.
I think there has been a lot of focus too on the relative strengths of the political parties. There will be some influence that will be exercised by the fact that the government will be judged on general performance as well. And the Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, the candidates involved will benefit or suffer as a result of how the parties are perceived in general terms. And that we can't escape.
And then, you know, David,
The issue here for me is, and now what? After
David,
this, what?
David, what I'm saying to you is this. You've gone into a Barbados Labour Party stronghold and expect a different result after the government is still on a high. You're going to be mad if you expect anything different. What you should have done, it was a referendum. That not of the government, it was a referendum of the Democratic Labour Party. And I here say to you, David, this is the kind of result. And if the Democratic Labour Party continue to do or to carry on...
So what should they do?
But I'm telling you, but just listen. I'm telling you, I might not be as fluent as you, because you just wait to the runway, pave, then to land, right? You never do a Sunday program yet. You rent a house. Anyhow,
that's absolute foolishness.
I know you would
because
call it
you that
now
it is.
You got divorced. No, you got
it's not true
thanks.
Because it
you
is not true.
Thanks now.
It is not true
because you say because you.
No.
That's a
no. No. Stop. You can't. It is not accurate at all to say that I've never done a Sunday program because
on St.
When,
George North.
Or on St. George North.
That's what I'm talking about. You were on holiday, babe.
It was on holiday.
Anyhow, listen, hello. Let me finish, because you always got a way of distracting me. Anyhow, this is what I'm saying to you. If the Democratic Labour Party do not up its thing and still continue in this same tired old style
how?
That Frandell Stewart, I'm telling you, David, that Frandell Stewart leave in the bank for them, that they're continuing with, don't speak to the people, don't connect with the people, that is the kind of result they will get in the next election
speak
in 2 years.
Speak with the people how? What are you recommending? Speak with
let
the people
me,
how?
Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. There's no committee that I know of that the Democratic Labour Party set up to be under the government skirt. None. And there's an alternative government. And I'm saying to you, check in 2008 when David Thompson won the government. Miss Motley went to work as leader of the Barbados Labour Party and set up a meet and greet and a shoulder rubbing. She did not wait. And all of that, she was preparing her wicket.
Well,
you know, today she is the Prime Minister. And I'm saying to you, David, that I have seen nothing so the Democratic Labour Party through its leader up to now in giving its supporters and well-wishers any hope. They
okay.
think that a seat can turn up. No way. You got to put in the work. And you can refute that if you think.
Well,
smartly put in the work and work tirelessly.
I don't think that.
Night
what you,
after night.
I'm sorry.
Right,
my apologies.
With the shoulder rubbings. She bring mini manifesto. She bring the prospect of hope. I think that was the name. That these are the sort of things that you have to do as a party if you want the people to take you seriously. He refused to connect with his base. Right? And right now I could see the same thing as a continuation. And that's all I got to say, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. But I will just say that what you saw from Ms. Motley was somewhat reminiscent of what we saw from David Thompson before he won the elections. It was the same, it's the set piece, which is the community outreach. So the Democratic Labour Party has had an experience similar to that already in how to win government. Therefore, I mean, the question is to what extent have things changed that would require a different approach? I don't think that that the approach needs to be markedly different, but it comes down largely to the personality of the person who is leading. Because some people who lead don't necessarily have that kind of orientation. Some people can acquire it, but I think that to say that it is the way that Ms. Motley won, that's correct, but it is also something that the Dems have done before as well.